I'm Jill Anderson. This is the Harvard EdCast. More than half of American students don't have access to sex education in schools. And when they do, it's often what Katherine Brown, the Vice President of Education Policy at the Center for American Progress, calls scattershot. With the rise of the Me Too movement, there's been an uptick in interest about how schools teach consent. But as Katherine discovered while looking at the state of sex education standards across the country, we need to do a lot more. One promising sign Katherine shared with me during a recent conversation is that attitudes seem to be shifting, especially in conservative states around education, sex, and policy. We talked about some of these reforms and the unique moment we're living in, but knowing most students still aren't receiving formal sex education in schools made me wonder whether our focus on consent suggests we're thinking in the wrong order.
Yeah, I mean, I very much agree with you. I think one of the concerns that we had when we started research on this report, which really was borne out by our findings, is that sex ed is often scattershot. So many, many students, more than half of students, don't have access to sex ed at all. But even when they do have it, it can often be sort of fear-based. Here are all the things that can go wrong. And I think a more proactive, affirming, let's talk about communication and healthy relationships and what we all need to be full humans and acknowledging that sex is part of that is a healthier approach that sets kids up to have functioning adult relationships and not get into this. So I do think consent is really important. Obviously, we have seen what can happen, and it's critically important that we prepare students for the world they're going to enter and for them to understand the consequences. But I also think it needs to be situated in a broader conversation about communication, about intimacy, about desire, about healthy relationships. And unfortunately, that's not happening in most schools around the country.
Were you surprised by the lack of sex education happening across the country?
I was surprised. I want to have one caveat, which I think is important, which is that we were looking at state standards and state policies. And so there are going to be districts or even individual schools that are teaching sex ed that aren't captured by a report. So I don't want people's takeaway to be if the state doesn't have sex ed enlisted in our report, then nothing is happening. But I was surprised, given how, you know, universal this topic ought to be, that more states don't have it as a policy that all schools have to provide some form of sex education.
What's kind of happening just in all these other schools that we don't know about, that just because it wasn't captured in this report doesn't mean it might not be happening in some capacity? Can you just sort of talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the District of Columbia offers an interesting example because that was one of the more detailed sex ed standards that we explored. And when you pull them up, they actually have a ton of different topics, and they're broken down by grade level. So in grade one, we're going to talk about consent in terms of, you know, can I have a hug and what does it mean to say no and autonomy around your body. And then as you get older, the standards relate more to intimate sexual relationships. But DC is also a school district. I think that's important to note. So I'm hoping that in other urban districts this is happening as well. There are thousands and thousands of school districts around the country, so that's an analysis that was beyond our scope. But I do think probably the norm in large urban districts is that there is some form of sex ed, but what it looks like, how comprehensive it is, whether it approaches abstinence only as the, you know, center of the curriculum, I don't have a lot of information about that.
It's probably just difficult to track that down, I would think.
Yeah, I think that would be quite a major undertaking.
From the education policy perspective, can you talk about what makes this such a complicated issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think consent in particular is complicated for parents, for community leaders, because sometimes people feel like talking about consent is tantamount to giving young people permission to have sex, and that is not aligned with their values. What they really want is for young people to delay having sex so that they don't get STDs, so that they don't get pregnant, and the range of problems that can come from early sexual activity. I think what's important to note, though, is what the research has consistently shown for multiple decades is that when you take this abstinence-only approach and you don't talk about it, it can actually backfire. It often backfires. And so we see even earlier rates of young people having sex. We see higher rates of STDs. We see higher rates of teen pregnancy. And I think that's because implicit in that approach is this idea that contraception, that condoms don't work. And so if that's the message we're sending to young people, and then they can't control their urges and they have sex anyway, if they think, oh, well, contraception doesn't work, then I might as well not even use it. And so it can backfire.
One of the things I was wondering, have there been a lot of efforts to make any kind of universal sex ed curriculum or some kind of mandate at the federal level? I know that most of these things tend to be state level and state initiatives, but I was just curious if there's ever been any universal kind of federal policy proposed.
Yeah, that's a great question. The Obama administration launched the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program in 2010 that had sort of standards around what good sex education looked like. And we have seen really significant declines, really going back to 1955, which is a hugely promising and important development for society in terms of the rates of teen pregnancy. I don't know what the standards were specifically in the TPP program. I will say that just recently, this past summer, the Trump administration shifted that focus of that program back to abstinence only. And so to the extent that the teen pregnancy program was sending millions of dollars into more comprehensive sex education programs that were medically accurate, that isn't going to happen anymore under the Trump administration, unfortunately.
If we were going to start thinking about making change, especially in education policy, what would you say we need to start thinking about and doing to make that happen?
I think one of the most exciting things that has come out of the Me Too movement with respect to sex ed is the energy that we're seeing young people, and particularly young women, take on leadership roles and saying what it is they want and they need. And so if you look, for example, at Oklahoma, which is obviously a very conservative state, there was a young woman named Lauren Atkins who herself was a survivor of sexual assault, and she was very brave, and she wrote down her experience and talked about what it meant for her, and then she worked with lawmakers in the state legislature to write a law, and her focus really was on education because she didn't believe that the young man who had assaulted her had intended, she didn't think he was an evil person. She thought he just didn't understand what was appropriate, what was right with respect to consent, and she saw education as the key lever for what could help her. And I think relying on these young women's experiences, listening to them, valuing them, holding them up, could be really transformative for communities, even in a conservative state like Oklahoma. And that's not the only place where we're seeing young women lead the way in terms of saying, you know, what it is that they would like to see taught in their schools in order to prepare boys and girls for the future they're going to enter.
You know, the report did mention some of the reforms that have been happening around the country that do point to some movement. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of those reforms that the report highlighted?
Yeah, and I would say, you know, we put this report out in May, and there have been additional measures that have been enacted even since May. So I do think one of the positive things that we see coming out of the Me Too movement is that it really is a catalyst for better consent, better sex education in schools and states around the country. And so we've seen Georgia, Illinois, Missouri, Maryland have all enacted laws updating their sex education standards to include a discussion of consent. And in many more states, legislation has been introduced to do that. And I expect more of that legislation to be enacted when the legislatures reopen in the winter. But in Arizona, in Idaho, in Michigan, in New York, in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure there are others, these are places where legislation has been introduced to expand, you know, what's taught in sex ed. In some cases, move through one house, and hopefully we'll move through the second one and get signed into law.
It sounds like despite what we keep seeing sort of out there getting a lot of the publicity, it does sound like there is some positive movement happening to make change in this area.
There definitely is, and I think that's one of the most exciting things right now, and it's transcending partisanship. You might assume that in conservative states they would really struggle with this, but you know, Georgia, we saw West Virginia has some of the more detailed standards. Like I mentioned, in Arizona and Idaho and Oklahoma, Missouri, we're seeing action. So I do think it is possible. We have a moment here where parents in particular want their students, their children, to understand what the laws are and to make sure that they're respectful. You know, and absent sex ed, I think it's important to know what happens in that case. We see peers, we see siblings, and we see things you can find on the internet becoming sex ed, and that can be inaccurate, to say the least, and really problematic for the kinds of values and expectations that young people internalize about what is and what is not appropriate with respect to sexual relationships.
What would you say to parents over the past few weeks with everything that's been happening in the news? A lot of parents are concerned about consent education and what's happening. Where should they start? How do they make change to some of the policies that are out there?
Well, I would say the first thing to do is to find out what actually is taught in your child's school. What are the state standards and how are they being implemented? I think that all this information is available on state education websites or on the district website. And if not, you can certainly talk to your child's principal and teacher and find out exactly what their program is. I would ask if it's an abstinence-only approach and then try to get the materials around what specifically that means. And I think also asking specifically whether consent and a discussion of healthy relationships and communication is part of the curriculum and how it's approached. And then I think supplementing is really important. So to the extent that it's not, you know, if the curriculum doesn't align with your values or doesn't prepare your child in the way that you would want, I think it's really important for parents themselves to talk about consent. And you can start doing this at a really early age. When does someone have the right to touch you or to hug you? And underscoring that that's your decision and you have bodily autonomy about who gets to touch you. Those conversations can start happening, you know, as early as kindergarten. And then I think translating that and advocating for what it is that you would like to see happen with your school district and then with your state. If you have access to a state lawmaker, this is a really good time to weigh in. We're also seeing a lot of women. I think one of the things that experts are predicting come November is that a lot more women are going to be elected to state legislatures and even to the U.S. Congress. And so this may be an opportunity where they're more interested in pursuing this type of legislation. We did see in our research almost every case of new laws that were being introduced and advocated for were sponsored by women. So I think there may be a moment as well to talk to people who are themselves mothers, who themselves were young girls once, and to have them understand, you know, what it is that's needed.
Well, Catherine, thank you so much for talking to me about this.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me.
Catherine Brown is the Vice President of Education Policy at the Center for American Progress. She co-authored a report about sex education across the states. I'm Jill Anderson. This is the Harvard EdCast, produced by the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Thanks for listening.